It's always an enjoyment and always a pleasure to be at my home church and preaching. And you know, as my sermon title kind of alludes to, is serve the Lord. And that's kind of part of what I'll be talking about. And some of you English majors, maybe this bothers you. It says serve through joy, but that'll hopefully become clear here in a second. And usually the week that I preach, I was joking with Scott and Nick this morning, that their anxiety usually gets a little higher because I don't turn my sermon stuff until later in the week. You know, for this one, it was 6:30 this morning. I emailed it to Nick. Or not Nick, Scott. I talked to him. I said, I don't have it. I'm working on it. I've been thinking about it for several weeks. And I said, I'll get to you 9 o'clock. He said, no, not 9 o'clock. So I sent it at 6:30. So, but also I found out too that Tammy came and said the youth were worried about me because they looked at the back of the bulletin and there was no note section. So everybody's a little on edge what I'm going to preach about, I guess. I think, came and did a decent job. So we'll see if that still holds this morning. But serve through joy. So kind of a disclaimer as I was studying this, it's something I want to say first off. This is not about working your way to heaven. That's not what this sermon is about. So don't get that. If you get that notion, come to me and ask questions afterwards. This is about serving through joy. And like I said, I'll kind of get to that point why I titled it that way. But we are saved for a purpose. And my purpose of the sermon is that you have the desire to serve God and others with everything that you have. That's what God has called us to do. And a lot of times, too, I had to admit to my class, you know, a lot of weeks that I preach, I don't really study my lesson very well for class, but it kind of steps in, the lesson kind of steps into my sermon pretty well this morning, because that's what Joshua was talking about. He was saying, draw the line, who are you going to serve? It depends on what version you use. Some say worship, but some say serve. Will you serve the Lord or will you serve somebody else? Who do you think is right here? But hopefully this morning through my sermon, you'll see that you have that desire to serve God. And not just God, but others. Because that's what He's called us to do. That's what He saved us to do. So what does it mean to serve? You know, a lot of us have different ideas of serve. You know, there's a lot of different things that we can talk about when we talk about serve or service to others or service to the Lord or service to our country or job, whatever. But, you know, one thing that kind of came to mind was customer service. You know, if something, is there kind of a ringing? Am I a little loud? We call customer service. If something's not working, if we bought this refrigerator, if our smartphone's not working, or you know whatever, we call customer service and we expect them to answer our questions, right? And we get kind of teed off if we don't get those questions answered. But there again, it's about us. Customer service is about us. Or we go to a restaurant and we have a waiter that waits on us and brings us our food. But really, that's not what I'm talking about when we serve the Lord and we serve through joy, because it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about others. It's about doing those things that He's called us to do with everything that we have. And that's kind of that definition of what it means to serve, is to be a servant. You know, in the United States, we don't like that word. We hear that word servant or slave, or you know, that means I don't have a choice. That means I don't get to do what I want to do. That's right, you don't. You get to do what God wants you to do. And do that with everything that you have. But to be a servant or be one that performs duties about the person or home of a master or a personal employer. And I'll read those verses again that we had in family group this morning with Joshua. But there again, that idea that we have to choose. It's not, I serve God on Sundays and then tomorrow morning when I go to work, I serve a different master. No, I serve God on Sunday and then the rest of the week, I serve God as a banker, as a teacher, as a fireman, as a police officer, whatever you want to put on the end of that, that is our service. And the Bible uses that word service and worship kind of interchangeably because, you know, our service is a type of worship. We can worship God through our service. We come here, you know, have Sunday morning services. But what are we doing? We're worshiping God. So it's all about being a servant and being that person to God and who He wants us to be. So if it looks like I'm reading off the screen, I am, because I had a lot of verses and I just kind of printed them in my slides as I went. So I'll read off that instead of flipping through my Bible. But If you don't have an outline, I'm not as good as Nick or Scott or Scotty or any of them. But please, you have a blank piece of paper, write these verses down, look them up again, but go back through this. But God has made us to serve, has made us and saved us to serve. So the first verse I want to look at is Genesis 2:15. And this is kind of an idea. Sometimes we think, well, service is just kind of the New Testament. You know, Jesus comes and he came and was that example for us. But this really goes all the way back to Genesis. It says, the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. My attempt to be funny here. Not working. There you go. God created Adam to serve as the first ranch hand. He didn't get to sit in that garden. You know, we see those pictures of Adam and Eve sitting around eating grapes, enjoying the pretty weather. No, he put him in the garden to work it and watch over it. He put him there to serve. He didn't produce him just so he had a buddy to go hang out in the garden with and talk to Adam when he needed somebody to talk to. No, he put him there to watch over things. We're no different. He's put us in positions. He's put us in places to work and serve and watch over that. Maybe that's our family. Maybe that's our church. Maybe that's our work. Whatever it is, he's put us there because he wants us to serve. He wants us to do that for him. He has made us to do that. So my next verse, Exodus 3:12, and really this was one that I'd been thinking about what I wanted to talk about, and I was listening to a podcast from R.C. Sproul one morning, and this verse he was talking about, and it kind of hit me as like, I'd never heard that before. And really, it depends on the translation that you have, and I have my study Bible that I usually pull out that I have at home is a New King James, and so that's why it might be a little different if you have a Holman Christian or something like that. But it says, so he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you. So God is talking to Moses. Moses is saying, I can't take the people out. I don't know what to do here. But he says, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. They will know that I've sent you. You know, he's kind of questioning whether the people would even know that he was from God. But he said, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God said, I'm going to bring you back. You're going to serve. My Holman Christian Bible says worship, but to serve. God saved the people of Israel, not just because he felt sorry for them, not because there was a promise there, which there was, but he saved them to serve. That sound familiar? We've been saved to serve. We were in bondage to our sin, and we were dying in our sin, but God saved us to serve. Not just to come and fill a seat and have fellowship time. He saved us to serve. He's made us and saved us to serve. God saved his people to serve him. So moving on here, Matthew 20:28. So really, this idea of service is not just Old Testament. It's not just New Testament. It's all throughout the Bible. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. One of these days I'll get this button. Christ came as a servant. Our Lord and Savior, the one that we say that we follow, the one that we say that is our perfect example, he said those words. He came to serve. He didn't come just to sit and let other people do stuff for him. He came to serve the people. He came to die on the cross. He was serving his Father in that way because that's what God wanted him to do. He didn't tell him no. You know, the other part of this sermon and what kind of came to mind, it's been a month ago, early in February, I was preaching at Mineola, and I usually ask my kids, how was church? What did Nick preach about? And the response out of their mouth was, well, Nick was picking on you. Where's Nick at? Yeah, Nick. And I hadn't really listened to that sermon. I listened to it when I was studying. But, I'm going to use that example because he's right. Because there was a time in my life that God helped me get out of. And I made that promise, and some of you heard this, that I will never tell you no. So then he kind of called me into teaching and to preaching. And there was that time where He calls me to churches, and I go, and there's been times where I've gone way more than what I do now, and Preston's always like, you can always say no. Preston, I can't say no. There have been times I've said no. There have been situations where this hasn't worked out, or maybe I was preaching somewhere else. But when I have that call, when I have that desire, when God has saved me to serve, I have to serve. And maybe you haven't been saved to preach or teach or be up here on stage or be, you know, the music leader or whatever, but you have been saved to do something. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have things that we can do that God has given us to use in service of Him. And when we hold that back, we're holding back from giving, worshiping our Lord and Savior. We're holding back from worshiping God. Oh, there's several verses here, but I'll figure it out. God has made us this, but James 2, 14 through 26. If I'm going a little fast, I apologize. But please write this down. It'll be on the website later if you can want these verses again. But James 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? You know, this isn't an idea of, there again, you can work your way to heaven. You can work your way to salvation. No. My faith doesn't save me, but then, God saves me, Jesus saves me, but then I have that desire to work for Him. If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? That's what James is saying here. If you say you have faith, that's great. There's a lot of people who say they have faith, but show it. If somebody comes to me, if one of my kids were to come to me or a friend were to come to me and say, I need something to eat, I need something warm to wear, and I say, well, good luck, see ya, God be with you. That's not being a friend, that's not being loving. What good does that do them? What good does that do me just to say I have faith? What good does that do me to come here on a Sunday morning and sit, and then I never do anything with that? I never use those talents. Your talent might be, you know, there again, I was studying that, and I was thinking of Joan Tate. Some of you don't know who she is, and some of you do. We had a work day here one day. She was a great prayer warrior. Probably couldn't lift a shovel worth a darn at her age, and shouldn't have been. But she sat in that fellowship hall all day with a label maker making labels. I don't know what for. I don't remember. But she made them, and she did it with everything that she had. She was able to do that. And other things too, but that was just kind of one of example. But what good is it, is my faith, if I'm not going to prove it, if I'm not going to show people that my faith is because of God and what He's done for me? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. Your faith is dead. We call it producing fruit sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we hear that term, produce fruit. That's what it is. It's works. Works don't save you, but it's an overflow of your faith and who you have faith in. And we should be doing those. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith from my works. You can talk all you want. Nick sits up here and talks about his Minnesota Vikings and how great they are. But us Chiefs fans, we just say, look at the Super Bowl trophies, right? Right here? Same way. Same way. That's great. Tell me you have faith. That's great, but what are you doing with it? What has God called you to do? God did not call you to sit in that chair. And don't think you get a big, big gold star just because you come here on Sunday mornings. I'll talk more about that later as well, but show me. Show me your faith. Because a lot of times what God calls us to, it takes that leap of faith and say, okay, God, I have no idea what I'm doing, but you've called me to this. That's what I did with preaching. I was scared to death when He called me to preach, and I still am, and it still makes me nervous. It still gets me going, but that's my way to show, okay, I've put my trust in Him. He will figure that out. He will help me through that. He has given me the ability to do that, and I need to use that. Will I ever preach in a great big stadium? Probably not, and that's fine with me. This is probably the largest crowd I'll preach to this year. A lot of times I go to churches with 20 or less. But they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe, and they shudder. Foolish man, you are willing to learn. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? You can talk all you want until you show me. Prove to me. We're in the show me state, people. Show me. Show me your faith through your works. Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works and by works. Faith was perfected. So the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was created to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, wasn't Rahab, the prostitute, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Both those situations, Moses and Rahab, or Abraham and Rahab, they didn't know. They didn't know it was all going to work out. Abraham had a faith that, okay, God has made me this promise that he's going to make me this great nation. How's that going to work if I kill my only son? He didn't know, but he still did it. Rahab, I mean, there was a lot of things that could have gone wrong there, right? Here's these strange men that come in and say, hey, hide us, and you know, if you hide us and don't tell anybody, we'll save you. Yeah, we've all heard that story before, right? I mean, she could have turned them in and probably been rewarded handsomely, but died with the rest of the Jericho people. Or they could have, you know, said, no, she didn't really help us. But she had faith in God, not in those men, not in their ability to do that kind of stuff. Our faith grows when we serve. We always talk about, I want to grow my faith. How do I grow my faith? You know, Jesus, the disciples asked that question. How do I grow my faith? You follow him, you trust him, you work for him. There again, those things that he asks us to do sometimes stretches us. Sometimes that's why we say, no, I don't like the idea of that. I'm not going to do that because, ooh, that's uncomfortable. Or I don't want to be around a certain group of people or have to get up in front of people and talk, whatever it might be. Our faith grows when we serve. Because we had to give up time, too. There's a work day coming up on April 12th. A chance to serve, right? I'm going to make my shameless plug. I'm not a trustee, but hopefully they'll pat me on the back afterwards. You might have to give something up on that Saturday morning to come do that. Come and work to serve. You might be out front pulling weeds. That's your service for the day. You might be, you know, in the back pulling weeds. You might be painting wall. I don't know what their list is, but there's all kinds of things. But you might have to give something up to serve. But you're going to grow from it. And you're going to see God work through you, whatever that might be. Okay, so serve through joy. So if you were a youth and several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to talk to them. So you've heard this. So I might call on you for answers, so pay attention. But we must serve through joy. So when I say through joy, there's certain steps that we have to take and certain things that we need to do as Christians to make sure that we are serving properly. It's not just something that I show up and say, okay, I'm going to do whatever I want to do and I'll call that service to God. No, that's not how it works. Jesus is first. Jesus is first. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your first step. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you have and you're just kind of floating along, put Jesus first. Make him the center of everything. Make him the center of what you want your life to be. Put Jesus first. So I have a couple of verses here we'll look at and discuss this. So Deuteronomy 10:12, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So this is Moses at the end of his life. This kind of sounded like the verse that we heard in family groups this morning, right? With Joshua? No, this is Moses. He's talking that. He says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord require of you? To serve. Serve him first. Put him first. Do what he wants first. Don't do what you want first." And then Joshua, this is the verse from this morning. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, a lot of you might have this on a wall in the house somewhere. I know Katie did at one point in her old house. She had it right next and by the kitchen table. And, you know, you sit there and look at it when we're eating supper or whenever we woke up in the morning. But how often do we just read that verse and we just gloss over and go on? And really, you need to back up and it says, choose for yourselves. God's not going to force you. God's not going to, you know, back you in the corner and say, you've got to do this or no, you choose. And we see later on in these verses, as we talked about in family groups this morning, that the people said, okay, yeah, we'll do that. That's no problem. We're okay with that. And Joshua said, okay, your witness is against yourself. And we know later on that, you know, they don't really follow what they said they were going to do. They follow other people. But Joshua wanted to make a point that you're choosing to do that. You choose tomorrow morning who you're going to serve. You choose on a Sunday morning whether to go to church or not go to church. God doesn't want middle of the road. He wants all or nothing. You don't get to just say, okay, well, I'll worship God on Sundays and Wednesdays and maybe, you know, some other times when we have special events during the week. No, it's 24/7. And that's what Joshua wanted the people to do. Choose. Choose who you are going to serve one way or the other. So the second, so the O, other second. So Jesus first, other second. So my verse here in Matthew, he said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Everything. There's nothing that doesn't fall into that category. Love the Lord your God with everything that you have. This is the greatest and most important command. So that kind of goes along. Jesus first, right? So we're seeing that. We'll get to the others here. The second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is not an obscure verse in the Bible. We hear this all the time, right? We know these verses, but do we follow them? Do we love our Lord with everything that we have? And then do we love people as ourselves? You know, they try to trick Jesus at one point. Who's my neighbor? Anybody is your neighbor. The people that you call enemies are your neighbor. The people that you've never talked to are your neighbor. Love your neighbors as yourself. All laws and prophets depend on these two commands. Everything that has been said up to this point, everything that will be said past this point, are summed up that. Love your Lord, love your neighbors. That's your job. That's your options. Love your Lord, love your neighbors. That's what he wants us to do. And then the last part of joy here is yourself last. This is where we struggle. We want to put the why in front, right? We want to put, you know, why, then Jesus, and then maybe others. Or ourself and others, and then, you know, maybe Jesus somewhere at some point. Ourselves are last. We're a servant. We're a slave. Our master is more important. There's only been one person in the whole history of the world that didn't spell joy with J first. Who was that? Somebody's whispering, come on. Jesus. Why? Yeah. Because he put himself last. You know? He was putting God first, but he put himself last. But Jesus called them over and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles dominate them, and the men of high positions exercise power over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Ourselves are last. Jesus is that example. He could have said, he could have came to this earth and said, nope, you do what I want. I'm going to sit here. You come to me and serve me. I'm going to set my kingdom up and I'm going to be the king. And we know how kings act and rulers act. It says in that verse, they dominate over the people. We don't live in a culture like much like that anymore, but we still have sin in this world. We still have sin in our lives that dominates us. We have that desire to get the pat on the back. We want to come and be recognized because I showed up here this morning. Or that I recognize that I've showed up to work tomorrow. And I have a verse here that I'll close with that kind of gets to that point. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about others. And then us. That's how we serve. If I'm serving Christ first and then others, I'm not worried about myself. God will take care of me. He will make sure that I have what I need. He will make sure that everything goes the way that He plans it. That's how a master works. He takes care of His servants, but they work for Him. I don't get to tell God, hey, well, you know, I want to do this and this and this. Nope, He'll laugh. We work for Him and serve Him. So how will you respond? What is your response today as you leave this place and, you know, you'll hopefully you turn your whole life over to God. Hopefully you'll realize there's part of my life that I'm just not giving to Him and I just need to give it all to Him. Maybe you've never gave any of it and you've said, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I need to look deeper into this. There'll be a time of invitation when we do the Lord's Supper and Nick will talk more about that and how that works. But even if you leave this place, you have questions. There's phone numbers on the bulletins. There's phone numbers on our website. Reach out to deacons, pastors, whatever. Ask those questions, but turn your whole life over to God. Every single part of it. Not just the part that comes here on Sunday mornings and sits, but the part that goes to work and ministers to those around us and shares the gospel with those. We're that example to those who we work with. Serve Him and others with everything that you have because that is why He has made you and saved you. You didn't do anything to earn a salvation. You didn't do anything special that He said, oh, I need that person on my team. He doesn't need you. He wants you. He wants you to serve. He wants you to be a part of that. That's why He's made you. That's why He's giving you the gift to do that. To use those. I'm going to close with these verses. And like I said, it's one of those that we kind of look at. And this really, these verses get at the heart of what we struggle at in the Western culture, but the United States especially. And I'll read through these, but Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Which one of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he comes in from the field and come out at once and sit down and eat? You know, if you work for somebody, they're not going to say, hey, you come and eat. You've been working all day, come and eat. That's what it's saying. You know, which one of you have people that work for you and say, you come and eat, take a rest? Oh, I'm going to say keep working. Right? That's what it says. Instead, will he not tell him, prepare something for me to eat, get ready and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you can eat and drink. Does he thank the slave because he did what was commanded? In the same way, when you have done all that you were commanded, you should say, we are good for nothing slaves. We've only done our duty. We live in a world that we want recognition. We live in a world that we need people to recognize, I did that. I did this. I'm here this morning. Pat me on the back. Praise me. But these verses says, you're just doing what God has asked you to do. You haven't done anything special. God has commanded all of us to serve. God has commanded all of us to work. And while we are still on this earth, that we put everything that we have into that. We're not going to get anything extra just because we serve here on this earth. We're just doing what our duty. Now, our promise from God is our reward is in heaven. That we work here, but our reward is in heaven. There will be a time after we've done everything that He's asked us to do that we get to rest, that we get to eat, that we get to enjoy the goodness. That's heaven. While we're here, it's work and service to Him and Him alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for the opportunity to serve You. Lord, that I can come and give Your message, and Lord, that it is Your message, that these aren't my words. These are things that I even struggle with some days to understand and do and follow. But Lord, You've called each and every one of us to work and to serve because You've saved us. You sent Your Son, who is that prime, perfect example of following You, Your commands, all the way to death. And Lord, You want the same out of us. Lord, You love us so much that You were willing to do that for us, and that You want us to reach out and ask for that forgiveness and hold on to that. But Lord, our reward is not here when we go to heaven to be with You for eternity. Lord, that You will welcome us at that point and tell us to rest and eat. But Lord, until then, whatever You called us to do, I pray that we would do that with everything that we have. Maybe we don't know what it is or how to do that, but Lord, that You would show us and give us the strength to do it. And Lord, I just pray as we go in this time of communion, and Lord, as we think about what You've done, and Lord, as if there's those things that we just need to get right, Lord, that You would lead us to that. And Lord, if there's sins in our lives that we need to deal with, Lord, that we would do that at this point. And Lord, if there's things that we need to change and turn back to You, Lord, that we would do that. But Lord, it's not because it saves us anymore, but Lord, it's because You called us. And Lord, we thank You for that, and we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and we pray all these things in His name.